experience what he's had coming to college.
Go on record. Are you ready to begin? This time, moderator in June will now begin the Senate Pass Committee meeting. Thank you. I am Senator Joe Josephson, the chairman of the committee, and seated here in June with me is Senator Rick Halford of the Chugiak Eagle River area, a member of the committee, and Senator H. Patty Moss of Dalton Junction. This afternoon's hearing concerns three measures that are scheduled. Two of them relate to the profession of chiropractic, and those bills are Senate Bill 509, which would add chiropractic to the statute authorizing referrals to physical therapists, and Senate Bill 510, which would add chiropractic services allowed under the Medicaid program. The committee also has a committee substitute, which would add comprehensive outpatient rehabilitation facilities to the Medicaid program. At present, only one facility in Alaska meets the Medicare guidelines for comprehensive outpatient rehabilitation facilities. That one facility is the Alaska Treatment Center. The Alaska Treatment Center currently bills Medicaid for the services allowable under the current statute, such as occupational and physical therapy. But Alaska Treatment Center cannot receive reimbursement for counseling services without modification of the law. Comprehensive outpatient rehabilitation facilities were added to Senate Bill 85 in 1983 in relation to the Medicaid Rate Commission, but would also have to be included under Alaska Statute 4707.030 in order to qualify fully for prospective payment for Medicaid. I believe that one of the witnesses we will be hearing from is Mr. Bill O'Connor from the Alaska Treatment Center. This afternoon, we also look to take up Senate Bill 454 after the teleconference, which would appropriate $7.75 million for construction of facilities at Prince William Sound Community College. And the president of Community College will be speaking to the committee. On the subject of Senate Bills 509 and 510, I'm advised that there are witnesses standing by in Anchorage. And the first witness to be testifying would be Dr. John Godfrey, according to my list. Is Dr. Godfrey ready to speak?
Yes, sir.
He's talking to the
mic.
Good afternoon, John. Please proceed. Yes, go ahead, John.
Which bill are you addressing first, Senator?
It's your choice. You can speak about both of them together if that's convenient for you.
And I would first like to address Senate Bill 510, simply because we have a room full of guests, I'm sure, who want to speak more to Senate Bill 509, and I would like to get attendance for their testimony. History predating Senate Bill 509. Excuse me, I have a bad cold today. In 1981, the Attorney General's office rendered an opinion at the request of the Chiropractic and Family Board, in which they addressed the problem of the inability of the chiropractor to both refer to and employ physical therapists in the state of Alaska. By their statutes, through the omission of those individuals' professions who could refer to them, which at the time were medical doctors, osteopaths, dentists, and veterinarians, and chiropractic was omitted. Chiropractic is the second largest healing profession in this state, and we've always felt that we should have the ability to take advantage of another profession by referral. As you may be aware, under our own statute, that we have the ability to duplicate many of the things which we are asking to have the right to refer patients for. But there are many chiropractors who feel that they simply do not have the time, do not want to take the time, but recognize the necessity for such treatment. attorney to me until 509-14, this chapter does not authorize any person to practice medicine, osteopathy, chiropractic, or other methods of healing. And if that is left intact, then I think that should be defined in case of chiropractic, defined by ASO 8.20.220, excuse me, which is our statute.
Well, no, I understand that this would mean that that Senate Bill 509, if enacted, would not authorize any person to practice medicine, osteopathy, chiropractic, or other method. Senate Bill 509 will be known as a chapter blank of the session laws of Alaska 1984, if it were.
Thank you,
sir.
I could read into the record if the committee is interested. The opinion which was handed down by the Attorney General's office in 1981, if it would be to the benefit of the committee.
Dr. Godfrey, I think we have that opinion available to us. This particular remark may not be addressed to you, but I think that we've had some communications expressing concern about this bill from physical therapists who feel that it's inappropriate legislation, and I suppose what I'm interested in is this, to them, perhaps, as they listen to you and other witnesses, is that I understand that the bill would be permissive and not mandatory, and would authorize them to treat someone under a referral from a chiropractor, wouldn't require them to accept the referral. So I am a little puzzled as to why there would be negative reaction to it, but maybe that will become clear as we proceed. Senator Halford has a question or a comment.
Yeah, just to that, Mr. Chairman, I think the reason is that occupational therapists or physical therapists come to the point where they wonder why they should be limited to only treatment by referral. And by adding chiropractic, you're furthering the only treatment by referral, I think that whole section all is necessary.
Well, okay, we'll keep that in mind. Maybe that'll be the gist of the testimony we get.
I think that I certainly can't speak for them. I believe that the list of individuals who could make the referral have been expanded. There's been a deletion, and there's been two professions added on to that list. To include chiropractic and podiatry. But this bill, as far as I read it, does not address the issue of whether or not the physical therapist wish to work independently of the system or of the statute status quo.
Well, we could, if it were in the public interest to do it, and if the physical therapist wanted us to do it, we could strike out Section 160, which would strike out the limitation of which Senator Crawford spoke. But of course, I haven't heard the testimony yet, so I don't know if that's where we're going.
3 years ago, Dr. Kramer, the then president of the Alaska Chiropractic Society, and I sat in attendance at their meeting and testimony, I suppose. It was a long course in history and philosophy and ideologies and so on and so forth to try to indicate to them our sympathy for their plight concerning their inability to practice independently. At the same time, indicating to them where we were coming from as far as our desire to have the ability to make the referral. It is my understanding that they still wish to practice independently. We have no problem with the independent practice per se, but we may have some problem about the scope of practice that they are allowed to do independently. As long as they were held accountable for the last line of 884-160, then I don't have any problem personally with them working independently. I think it's their right, and I certainly would support them on that basis.
Senator Huffer has a question.
Doctor, then I have a question just to clarify that. If physical therapists were not involved in the manipulation of the spine, you would have no problem with their practice without referral.
Not so whatsoever, as long as you change the terminology slightly and make it joint manipulation, joint localization involving the spider and the spinal column.
Thank you.
Did you have anything else on 509, Dr. Garfield?
Not at this point.
Thank you very much. Dr. Dallas Nelson is in Glen Allen and I think has a time constraint. Dr. Nelson, are you standing by?
Yes, I am. Dr. Nelson from Glen Allen, a chiropractic physician. I'd like to support Senate Bill 509. It's very appropriate for us to be able to refer to physical therapists due to our training in physical therapy. It's an integral part in many chiropractic procedures, and that we have the ability to refer, and we know what we're referring, and we're knowing how to refer, where I don't believe medical doctors get the training in physical therapy, and therefore they really don't have the knowledge of how to refer other than referring to a physical therapist. On Senate Bill 510, I'm in favor of that because it gives the welfare patient a freedom of choice in physician care. Out here at Glen Allen, we have a number of patients on one of the coupons, and I have to turn away. A lot of the Indian patients have problems with drugs and alcohol to begin with, and for things that I can treat naturally without medications, without allopathic-type therapy, they have to go down to the hospital, which accepts the steps. And, you know, I just have to turn away a lot of people that I know I could help.
Senator Helfer.
Dr. Nelson, with regard to the same question I asked Dr. Raffrey, you referred to the ability to refer to physical therapists, but do you have a problem with physical therapists treating people directly, provided they don't do anything that deals with the mobilization of joints regarding the manipulation of the spine?
I think you're saying they would have their own private practice where patients would come in to them as a primary health care provider?
They could have a private practice and also work on referrals for other medical practices.
I'm not really tuned with what a physical therapist goes through for their type of training. It is such where they do have the diagnostic skills. I'm in favor of them allowing to practice by themselves, provided they do not do any type of manipulation or adjustments of the spine or extremities.
Did you have anything further, Dr. Nelson?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, and we have a witness, and Matt Sue, who is Alice Hollinger, if I have pronounced that correctly. Is she there?
Mr. Chairman, she has not arrived as yet.
All right, then let's go back to Anchorage and hear from Bill O'Connor. Bill?
Yes, Senator Garcia, approaching the line.
Services and the social services under the Medicaid program. discussed that we could modify 510 to include the comprehensive rehabilitation facility for counseling services.
Thank you very much. I'll see if there's any questions from the senators. Are there any questions? If not, we appreciate your coming down, Bill.
Thank you, Senator.
And the next person to be heard from is Gary McCarthy, Anchorage.
One moment.
Peaks and pains. I think that's what would happen if we did this. I think we all need to have a this sort of process is good for our profession and good for the public as a whole, and I think the consumers will benefit.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Egbert. Senator Rick Balfour has a question for you. He's your senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a question on the argument that we traditionally hear whenever we're dealing with the relative scope of various professions, particularly the medical area, is that although the physical therapist has the ability to treat a number of ailments, he may not have the ability to recognize symptoms of other more serious problems. And we get that in the question of drugs with optical professionals versus doctors. And I think there's a little bit of the same argument behind the requirement for referral in physical therapy. I wonder if there's any way you can answer that question in terms of either training or the way the professional would act or could act through its own organizations to ensure that in cases where there was other diagnosis necessary, there'd be the recognition of those ailments, so it wasn't just a matter of trying to adjust something that was the symptom of a much more serious medical problem.
Yes,
Senator
Halford. I think what we're doing is not so much diagnosing the treating by the patient's signs and symptoms and progressing them accordingly. We found that signs and symptoms weren't showing neuromuscular or musculoskeletal dysfunction as we thought. We referred on. In fact, I would like to see in our bill make it unlawful for the physical therapist to not refer on to a practitioner, a patient who has a problem beyond the scope of physical therapy. This would be good for the consumers. The training that we have is becoming increasingly more along the lines of problem solving for screening musculoskeletal problems. But at the present time, you're right, you know, we can't diagnose, we don't try to diagnose, but we can identify, I think, problems that are without merit for physical therapy, and rather quickly. I think in one treatment or two treatments, maybe 2 days. And I don't think 2 days or two treatments would be much of a sacrifice for consumers.
Let me ask this, though. Is there a possibility that we would be authorizing a treatment by a physical therapist without referral by a chiropractor or a doctor or an osteopath? Which treatment would be injurious to the patient before it is realized that physical therapy would be counter curative? This is
Thank you.
Senator Moss.
I had one question, just my own edification.
some nature. Is that the way the present regulations or rules are, that you have to have a MD's referral before you work on it?
Yes, that's true.
Thank you. Senator Duffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just trying to follow up on the same line. The bill we have before us in the proposal would be simply to remove 160 and 509, repeal it, and you'd be repealing the referral. It appears that in order to do that with the right degree of responsibility, it would actually take some more complete legislation to clearly define what could and couldn't be done without a referral. It doesn't seem to be as simple as simply repealing the requirement for referral. If we do that, we've got more limited in place to control that referral. And if you have any specific suggestions on what kind of limitations would be appropriate and what kind of procedure I'd sure like to get from you, from Senator Duffer.
Mr. Egbert, let me ask this question. Do fiscal service maintain policies of insurance, liability insurance?
Yes, we do.
Do you have anything else to add, Hal?
I'd like to pass on some of those, sir.
All right. Then I think the next person on the list was Gary McCarthy. He's ready to testify now.
Thank you. In polling some of my patients in the last couple of days regarding this proposed change of our practice act, the response overall has been positive, especially whether those patients that have received chiropractic treatment and physical therapy treatment and have used both professionals as means for rehabilitation. So from that standpoint, I have to say that I really have no problem with taking patients from the chiropractor in general. I guess my only concern with this is putting more restrictions on our scope of practice. And by that I mean, I think it's Edward Nelson from pointed out that the chiropractors are, in a way, aware of what we do, and they use many modalities of what they call physiotherapy. But then the next breath, Dr. Nelson was saying that he was not familiar with our training, our background. And in light of that, having a referral as it is in our practice, I get a little skeptical or a little worried about what type of referral we will receive, especially in light of the difference in approaches. You know, we have traditionally aligned ourselves clearly with the medical field and with the medical model. And not totally understanding the chiropractic model myself, but thanks to Dr. Gosby's discussion a couple of years ago, having a little better idea, I am hesitant to take a direct referral telling us how to practice. Therefore, I'd like to see us able to treat patients from chiropractors. But I would strongly urge that we go ahead and eliminate the requirement to practice under referral and give it open options to practice in general.
I'd like
to make one other comment with regard to mobilization. Anytime we take any joint, vertebral or spinal joint, and we move it, that's mobilization. And so that's a vital and integral part of our treatment. Manipulation is something that is being used often and taught in school in physical therapy. So I would hate to see our practice restricted to these areas, as they are of vital importance to the patients and to the well-being of the patient.
Gary, just so I understand this better, this is Senator Josephson again. As I look at 509, as I said in the opening, it only allows a chiropractor to make a referral to you and gives you permission to treat based on that referral. It doesn't, you know, the therapist has a philosophical difference with the referrer. It seems to me you can decline that referral. Am I wrong in that?
No, that is correct. So it would be opened up individually if you want to take that referral or not.
Yes.
I can see it. The option to be able to take a patient from the chiropractor, but I just traditionally the referral has been often dogmatic in terms of how that patient is treated. I guess we could just deny treatment.
Yeah.
But I hate to see this bumping back and forth. I'd like to see us optimally use our skills and as well as the chiropractor to be able to treat that patient and make it better.
Well, since you are professionals and have your own licensing board, it would be unreasonable to say that you would have to act upon a patient on referral of a chiropractor and do things with that patient that you could not professionally feel comfortable with. The same equal argument applies to a referral from a doctor or an osteopath, I suppose. I see no other questions here, so I will thank you, Mr. McCarthy.
Thank you.
In Fairbanks, Dr. G.S. Khalsa, D.C., is standing by. Dr. Khalsa.
Yes, thank you. Am I being heard okay?
Yes, sir, we can hear you fine.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to testify on the Senate Bill Number 510, one regarding to Act related to provision of chiropractic services under Medicaid program.
Yes.
And I have a couple of statements and also a couple of questions to ask people on the HES committee. And my first comment is that I'm very glad to see chiropractic being included. And I don't mean to be looking the gift horse in the mouth here, so to speak, but I do note some discrepancies that I'd like to discuss with you folks. In the section where they're discussing priority of services, I understand completely the need to set such priorities based on finances, budgeting, etc. And yet I'm seeing, so to speak, apples and oranges being compared, and that if you look at items number 1 through 7, they're all listed as different people or age groups or certain sectors of the population that would require Medicaid treatment. And yet as we get then into 8 through 19, we're looking at different actual kinds of therapies or kinds of care or kinds of services rendered. And I'm curious to know why chiropractic care would be denied then to those listed in numbers 1 through 7. In other words, those who are aged, blind, disabled, people who are, as number 2, in a medical care facility, for those who are qualified as the other items listed number 1 through 7, why they would be unable to receive chiropractic care as their primary mode of therapy, in that I have many patients who come to myself as a chiropractic physician as their primary health care physician, not strictly limited to musculoskeletal problems, but any problem that they would choose to go to a physician for. I have patients who come to me as their primary care physician, and those often include people who would fit into such categories as listed in the priorities here. So while I'm glad to see any progress being made in chiropractic's ability to be covered under the Medicaid program, I don't see any such positive changes. I would also like to simply mention here that it would seem appropriate to allow those individuals who would qualify under the budget to be able to choose chiropractic as their primary mode of health care.
Senator Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doctor, I tend to agree with what you said in terms of the priority list. It's interesting that we're adding chiropractic services in 510, and then we're adding the ability to refer from chiropractors to physical therapists. And yet in that same priority list, physical therapy or occupational therapy is number 11 in the priority of need, while chiropractic is number 20. So it appears that in order to get treatment in times of limited funding ability, the chiropractor may have to refer to a physical therapist in order to be high enough on the priority list to get the funding. It seems like we're going around in a long circle. But as I look at the this list of priorities, the ramifications of trying to reorder that entire list caused me great concern.
Well, I think the testimony is very helpful because it really is kind of nonsensical the way this is done. In the first place, the draft says that we will provide medical assistance in the following order, whatever medical assistance is, and then says that medical assistance must include chiropractic services and occupational therapy and nurse midwife services. So there's that problem. Okay, Doctor, I don't have an answer on this, but we do see what you're saying, and we're welcome.
May I comment just a moment further?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Exactly as you were stating, it says there, medical services to be provided. Ideally, what I would like to see is that option for patients to choose simply which would be their primary healthcare choice, and perhaps it should be worded simply to say healthcare services to be provided, and those who would qualify as the primary, well, those who would qualify most, that is highest on the priority list, as listed here, aging, blind, disabled people, allowing them the option then to choose whichever of the primary healthcare physicians they prefer, be it chiropractic, medical, or osteopathic care.
It's interesting because you also constrain this and say that medical surgery is not permissible under this because while we refer to midwives and chiropractors, we don't refer anyway to MDs. I mean, it gets obscure. Okay, if you have nothing else, do you have anything else, Doctor?
Well, only that hopefully if this bill is going to be reworked by this committee, that I do encourage you to continue to include chiropractic services in it. I'm very grateful to see that there, and hoping that that certainly would not be deleted, simply that if we could reword it to allow that freedom of choice, that would be the ideal circumstance. And that's all I'd have to say. Thank you.
Doctor, before you leave, what is your position on the matter of whether physical therapists should be permitted to practice without referral?
Well, I'm simply going to have to say I'm prepared to testify on that. If it's okay, what I'd like to do is look over some of the testimony further that's coming in now from other physical therapists. I've only been sitting here for about 10 minutes prior to my arrival, and I'd like to submit some written testimony down to you, perhaps send a letter to the committee. I'm not prepared at this moment to testify. It does seem, though, in light of the last two people who testified prior to me, that what would certainly be helpful in the long run would be more open communication between the chiropractic community and those who are physical therapists, at least so we can understand what each other are doing.
Thank you, Doctor. Yes, we'll be glad to receive your written statement. And I'll move on now into back to Anchorage and ask if Patricia McAdoo is ready to speak.
Yes, Senator, she's
approaching
the mic.
As long as he sends this thing to her, he's right.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Senators. My name is Patricia McAdoo, and I'm a physical therapist practicing and residing here in Anchorage. And I have the pleasure of appearing before you today in a dual capacity, actually in a triple capacity. One, as a concerned Alaskan. Secondly, as a practicing professional, and three, as the current president of the Alaska Physical Therapy Association. Senator Josephson, I could add a fourth to that. I'm your constituent. What I'd like to do is address Senate Bill 509 from several aspects. I would first of all like to say that my preceding speakers, both in chiropractic and physical therapy, have identified a problem area, and that is one of limited access to physical therapy. There presently exists a gateway through which consumers must pass. We've identified the fact that for various reasons that gateway is not all-inclusive. The current Senate Bill 509 proposed amendment seeks to enlarge that gateway by adding chiropractic, and I would suggest to you this is perhaps akin to raising an umbrella to stop a dam from breaking. The idea, the essence of it is perhaps a good one, but it doesn't solve the problem. I feel very strongly that we do not need further referral sources enumerated here until we have a laundry list, but rather we need to step back and recognize physical therapy as a profession. In taking this strong stance, I bring with me several years of having practiced under the U.S. Army system of practice without referral and having practiced in two states, California and Illinois, that currently allow practice without referral. I can very honestly say that in the two civilian settings, as Mr. Egbert gave you values of, I believe it was 5% or less of the referrals were not
further develop for you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I'll see if there are any questions here. Senator Hopper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I would just ask the same question that I asked earlier, which is your points, I think, were well taken. There are some questions.
Good ones as models, we could look at those and see how we might adapt them for Alaska.
see the protections put in another way to ensure that there is a combination of direct access and referral that provides for the proper level of diagnosis of other ailments and everything else, so that when you try to gather this information, try to gather it as an alternative to simply repealing 160, because I think that may be too big a step to take at this point.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Donna Clockfold?
She's approaching the mic. Good afternoon, Senator. My name is Donna Clockfold. I am a practicing physical therapist here in Anchorage, and I am also chairman of the State Physical Therapy Board. I believe you have the opinion of the Physical Therapy Board in a letter that was written a week ago. The major emphasis is that there is very definitely a difference in philosophy of treatment between chiropractic and traditional medicine. And historically, we have allied ourselves with traditional medicine. I personally, because of this, would be a little bit leery working under the prescription of a chiropractor. I think there is also another issue that has not been brought up, and it's one that does concern me. Chiropractors have said that they would very definitely be interested in hiring physical therapists themselves. This would give us a situation where a person financially profits from his referral. We currently have this kind of a situation with medical physicians, and it's a situation which we as a national profession are generally opposed. Now, the same kind of situation used to be present when physicians owned pharmacies, and that is no longer legal. The kind of situation that we would like to see not legal with physical therapists also. I think by allowing chiropractors to refer to physical therapists in our statutes, it opens up that kind of, or opens up the possibility of that kind of situation happening. Thank you.
Now, are there any states that you know of which deny to medical doctors the right of employing a physical therapist?
Yes, at this point, Delaware does not allow physicians to own physical therapy services.
I'm looking at your letter. You know, just give me a moment on that. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
Yes,
sir. Let me go back to your statement about how you have, in your profession, tended to organize along the medical model, and that you would have some personal discomfort in acting on referral of a chiropractor. Leaving aside the issue of the chiropractor employing his or her own physical therapist, I made the comment earlier that this would only be permissive. It would not require you to act on a referral from a chiropractor if you didn't want to. Could you, in that light, could you explain what concerns you and what your discomfort would be?
Well, I certainly understand what you're saying. That is an issue that we discussed, that it's permissive rather than authoritative, and I think we would take it as such. Personally, I probably would not accept, it's depending, but there are many instances when I would not accept a referral from a chiropractor because I feel that the type of diagnostic workup some chiropractors do is not appropriate to the actual problem that I see. I'm not saying this is always the case by any means.
Do you understand the present statute then to forbid a chiropractor from employing a physical therapist?
Yes.
I'll have to look into this, but is there specific provision authorizing medical doctors to employ a physical therapist?
No, it's not stated either way, but they do and they can because they can refer to physical therapists.
I don't quite understand what you're saying. As I hear you, Donna, the statute is silent on the question of medical doctors employing physical therapists.
That's correct.
And they do employ physical therapists.
Pardon?
And they do employ physical therapists.
Yes, they do.
Okay. And there is nothing in the law that prohibits a chiropractor from employing a physical therapist, except if the chiropractor may not refer to a physical therapist.
Right.
And if a chiropractor treats me and says, I want a physical therapist on my staff to, give you 8 massages, that would be a referral within the meaning of the law as you understand it and as you've been advised, correct?
Unless that patient went to a physician.
Senator Moss. I was just looking at something here. Apparently, it doesn't say that the has to order the service, but doesn't it online 10.11.12 in a backhanded way say that a doctor is the only one that can order the treatment? Because it says the person licensed under the chapter may not treat human A1-5 therapy otherwise, except under the treatment direction. The person licensed to practice medicine and so forth. And the only thing I see is change in here is the addition of chiropractic. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, doesn't that in itself have a tacit thing that says that a doctor can employ a therapist in a tacit manner?
Apparently that's correct, and I guess what this legislation raises, and by the way, for those of you in the teleconference, Senator Paul Fisher of the PNI Council, South Actors, but I guess what this says is that on the one hand, we would be putting chiropractors on a par with medical doctors, allowing them to refer and to refer and to employ chiropractors. On the other hand, and I hear physical therapists saying, to employ physical therapists. And I hear physical therapists saying, well, that's okay as long as it's permissive, but some say even if it's permissive, we won't respond to the chiropractors anyway, which is their right, I think. And the other concern is that this will lead to chiropractors employing physical therapists, and perhaps I'm concerned what that does to the independent practice of physical therapy. Do I have that in mind correctly?
Yes.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I have no more. Nothing further.
We appreciate you knowing your position and seeing the correspondence done.
Thank you very much.
Now, is Alice Hollinger standing by in the back seat?
Yes, I'm here.
We'd be pleased to hear from you at this time.
Thank you. I'm Alice Hollinger, and I live and practice as a physical therapist in the Matthew borough. I basically agree with what's been said by several physical therapists before me, and I'd just like to make a couple of points. Senator Halpern, you were questioning whether there was a chance of counter-curative measures being taken by physical therapists before they would recognize that they
case-specific basis or by a general arrangement with a particular therapist, that the therapist would take the referral for that category of case. I mean, otherwise, the chiropractor could send a patient of long-standing to the therapist, and the therapist might say, I think your doctor's full of bunk and hooey, and I won't take any referrals from Dr. Jones or Smith or Brown, and the chiropractor wouldn't want that. So I assume in the real world, there'd be a prearrangement before that patient shows up on your doorstep. Is that wrong?
I'm afraid that it's wrong.
I'm afraid
that that is a really the way the real world works for us. And it perhaps is a difference in the way we're defining referral. My understanding of referral, I would expect that sort of situation to exist if I were referring a patient to another physical therapist. And you are talking about a lawyer referring a client to another lawyer. That's not, in my experience, that's not the way it works when a physician refers a patient to a physical therapist.
Because of the so-called authority of the medical doctor.
Correct.
But if I were a chiropractor, I would be a pretty poor business person if I was referring my patients to therapists who trashed on my profession. I mean, I'd stop that in a hurry, I would think, wouldn't I? And find therapists who would take the referrals instead.
Well,
yeah, well, I'm just trying to get a feel for this, and I think Senator Dauber has a comment.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think what we end up with as a logical extension of this, and I don't necessarily mean that that's a positive or negative, but what we end up with is one group of physical therapists whose primary occupation is working through the referrals of other medical practitioners other than chiropractors, and another group of physical therapists who primarily work with chiropractors. Whether there's an employment tie or not, those things go through all the medical professions, whether they refer back and forth anyway. But we definitely see a split in the road in the ideology and philosophy of physical therapy in two different directions with the passage of this legislation. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I think it exists.
Yes, I see that potential here, too. If I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ms. Holder, I just was curious about how this would really work if it were authorized.
That's perfectly okay. I think this has ramifications in lots of different directions, and I encourage discussion about it. The other point that I wanted to make, though, was to also reinforce what other people have said about the fact that physical therapy has traditionally aligned itself with traditional medical practice, and that we have differences in philosophy of treatment with chiropractors, and I have also seen that in my own practice and have frequently had patients who initially, anyway, were trying to see both a chiropractor and a medical doctor, and then through the medical doctor see me simultaneously, and I have found that in almost all instances we have ended up having to decide whether that person was going to see me or the chiropractor for a given problem at a given time. And I'm not saying that, that they might try one and then find out whether that works or not and then try the other if necessary. But that it has very seldom worked that we can see a single person with the same problem simultaneously.
Thank you very much. I see no other questions here, and appreciate your standing by in the Valley for us. Okay, we'll return to Anchorage. Is the next witness available in Anchorage?
My personal feeling.
understand that the physical therapists want to move to carry on without referrals, and I think that should be an issue we should look at on its merits. But you also said that by adding a category to who can refer you, that denigrates your professional. I'm not sure I understand that. At least it would seem to me that at least it gives you more leeway as to who you get referrals from. And while it isn't the answer you're looking for, it's at least.
Yes, sir, maybe I didn't word that right. It does.
against direct opportunities for physical therapists to treat patients without a referral by even a medical doctor.
You're talking now about practice without referral.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's an argument for not taking the chiropractors. It's also a real strong argument for not letting you do anything without referral.
I'm not here to testify. I don't take that referral. And there are differences of opinions among physical therapists in regard to that issue also.
Okay.
The other thing that gives me shivers also is the discussion about the restriction of physical therapy practice in regard to organization and information. And as Susan Pettis pointed out, practically any treatment that I do with the restriction of a few involves things that could be defined as mobilization. And obviously, that would not be an acceptable thing, though I don't really think that's an issue at this time. As Senator Helfer pointed out, I don't think that practice without referral can be initiated simply by striking out one paragraph from our practice.
Let me ask this. Apparently, you're a national Organizations Council tells you that you are not in violation of antitrust laws through the policy of declining referrals from chiropractors, at least where there is a mandate of state law, rather than some kind of informal agreement. So that in Alaska, a chiropractor who finds that no therapist or some therapist will not take the chiropractor's patients, will not sue over that on antitrust grounds. Suppose, do you know what would happen if we passed the bill in a form which said that you may receive referrals, but that your declination to do so would not be the basis of civil liability?
I'm still strongly opposed, simply because of what is unsaid and what happens with this bill, and that is that you are giving an increased, you are saying that another way of saying that the chiropractic field has something in common with mine, and I don't believe that. And I think that's my strongest opposition of this bill, is that you're aligning a profession with mine that I don't believe has anything to do with my profession.
What is your feeling about podiatry? You're able to take, the law presently allows you to take referrals from podiatrists. You do that.
Podiatrists have been recognized by the Medical Association as a recognized field, as have osteopaths.
Section
under subsection 7 on line 24, you were recommending not that chiropractic be given in ASU 82220, but that it have X-ray services. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, could you also address the matter of the comprehensive outpatient rehabilitation facility services in the U.S. Treatment Center?
We asked for Nancy's opinion around December and received one in January, asking the question whether Alaska Treatment Center qualified as a rehabilitative facility under the Medicaid statute. The opinion said that given the scope of services offered there in the relative meaning of that term, that they did qualify as a rehabilitative facility, therefore were a covered provider in the Medicaid program in Alaska. And because the scope of services would be one that appropriately should fall under the jurisdiction of the Rate Commission and have their rates set by the Commission rather than being paid on a per service kind of arrangement. The problem came from the next question, which was what services do they offer, can the program pay for, and what services can the Commission consider to look setting that rate? They do offer services at Alaska Treatment Center that are not presently covered under the Medicaid program. And when we look at that facility for purposes of setting the Medicaid rate, we won't include, for example, their social worker-oriented services or their psychotherapy-oriented services. And as a result, their rate won't reflect all the scope of things that they do in that facility.
Does the department then support the amendment?
In all candor, I just saw that today, although it was advised that was being considered, and I have to go back and look at the language before I can finish writing.
Senator Boss?
Mr. Chairman, that appeared to see his on this question. I would like to comment on that. On that order of things, page 2, the word age, what is your department's interpretation of age? Is that we spell out specifically here in the areas here 21 years for advanced or under 21 years. But what is the specific definition for age? You say up here age of a disabled person on number 1.
For purposes of Medicaid, in the age of programs in the Division of Public Assistance, it's 65 years of age. It's not consistent with what the old age is for the general scope of old age programs, which is usually 65.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions here?